Hello, Knoxville. You are listening to Sister Janice on the Sunday Drive.
Hello, Knoxville. You are listening to Sister Janice on the Sunday Drive, and we're so delighted that you chose this day to spend just with us. Well, family, today is Sunday Drive Talk Day with your host, Dr. Butler. Dr. Butler is out of town today spreading the gospel, so we are doing a repeat of his previous show on gun violence. Amen? Amen. So we'd like to also remind you that we want to thank all of our sponsors on Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and WITA 1490 AM Radio, where you can hear the Sunday Drive from 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. every Sunday, as well as throughout the week, and the Sunday Drive Talk on Thursdays with your host, Dr. Butler. Let's keep he and his family in prayer as they travel through, and we look forward to seeing them live on next Thursday. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Sunday Drive Talk right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Knoxville. Hello, Knoxville. This is your host, Sister Janice, and thank you for listening to the Sunday Drive Talk with your host, Dr. Butler. Amen. We are so delighted that you chose this day to spend just with us. We'd like to thank the following sponsors: Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and WITA 1490 AM Radio, where you can hear the Sunday Drive Gospel Music Radio broadcast every Sunday between 2 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. You could also hear Grace and Love Ministries with your host Pamela Myers between 2:30 p.m. and 2:45 p.m. Also, if you'd like to get your gospel music, gospel radio commentary, or your gospel ministries on the air, please inbox me, Janice Hudson Azee, on Facebook, or you can inbox Dr. Butler on Facebook, and he will gladly get you on the air. Want to thank Mr. Jason Moore. He continues keeping Sister Janice's frock looking good and tight, and if you'd like him to do the same for you, you can reach him at 865-438-6026. And Miss Lonnie with Twisted Sisters, you can locate her also on the Sunday Drive page, as she could show you how to go the natural way. All natural, all the time. Well, amen. How are you doing, Dr. Butler?
I am doing very, very well. And just glad to see the Sunday Drive Talkers calling in today.
Well, amen. It looks like we have a full house, so we'll turn it all over to you.
Well, on today, we kind of have a discussion that we have been talking about, and our producer, Ms. Janice, gave a lot of input and information. I'm not sure she's going to ask a lot of questions today, but we got a chance to kind of discuss multiple things that are going on. Have you noticed that there seems to be a lot of people who are dying recently? A lot of people seem like it just seems like a lot of people are dying, and people are just leaving here by large groups, you know, young folks and old folks and all ages. And I mean, it's really, really surprising to see how many people actually are dying and the people that are being born, you know, at the same time. It is amazing when you start thinking about what God is doing in our lives. But on today, we kind of want to explore what is death? You know, what does the Bible say about death? And how does it affect people who live and people who die? When you think about death, it's something that pops up all the time. You cannot go anywhere from the death of a pet to experiencing a relative, a loved one, a friend, you know. But the issue is it's also unavoidable. No one can escape it. All of us may not like it, but it will not stop it because it is a part of the cycle of things. So when the Bible teaches that in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, put them in a garden, and when he told them, whatever you do, don't eat off this tree, lest you die. Now, it's amazing because they would not have known really an experience of what death was like because no one had ever died before. Can you imagine? The Bible doesn't say how old they were. We don't know exactly how long it, you know, it was before the fall of man. We do know how old they, you know, Adam was when he died, but we don't know how long he was on the earth before the fall occurred. So this is something that seems like it's strange that God would tell them that, you know, you have basically life and death in your hands, and you can choose whether you choose life, and you can choose whether you want to choose death. It's all up to you. And when you begin to think about it on those terms, it can be somewhat surprising, you know? They have something at worldometers.info, the worldometer.info, worldometers with an S, actually shows the current population. It shows how many people are on the planet today. It shows how many people were born today, how many people died today, and what the population growth is, how it's growing. And it even gives you a from this year, you can get the totals from this year as well. It's always calculating and always adding up. So you're able to go out there and take a look. Again, that's worldometers.info. F-O. Right? So it's important that when you begin to look at that, we have 7.5 billion people on this planet, billion with a B. And when we think about life and death, most people love the idea of life but really cannot stand the idea of death whatsoever. But since you can't avoid it, we need to be prepared for it. The Bible teaches that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, which means that all people have an appointed time that they must leave this place. Not everyone is going to be able to just wait until Jesus comes and be alive when the rapture occurs. Not everyone is going to be, you know, you know, all the way into the end of the world, and that's going to be the end. There's going to be a difference. Now, you need to know that even though there's an appointed time unto all men to die, there are a few people that in our time frame have not experienced death. So when you look in the beginning, in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that Elijah, okay, was carried away. So he did not experience he did not experience the same type of death like we do. He was carried away and taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, which is pretty awesome, actually. And you need to take a look at that whenever you get a chance. In 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse 11, the Bible says, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah, with a J, went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Isn't that awesome? And so he was able to be caught up to heaven without experiencing death. That is just fantastically miraculous, all right? And so you need to know that not everybody on the earth that has been born has experienced death as of yet. Now, we also know that God has already given us the hope of life and the meaning of life and given us a path of life so that we get the most out of it. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches that God wishes that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So why is it people don't have abundant life? If they're supposed to have abundant life and God wants us to have it abundantly, what in the world does that work? Well, let me give you this. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He is giving a comparison to how the devil will lead you and the end result, and where God will lead you and the end result. So life only comes from God. Death is something that the devil leads you to. So that is something you need to understand. So what kind of death are we talking about? Are we talking about spiritual death or physical death? I'm glad you asked that question. When people's bodies wear out, they experience a physical death where their bodies no longer function and their souls leave their body and it no longer operates anymore. That is what we call physical death, okay? Now, spiritual death is a different part that we want to talk about, okay? The spiritual part is what the Bible refers to as the second death. It is the time when people actually die on physically, their bodies go away, but then their soul lives on forever in heaven or in hell. And so when a person's soul actually goes down into hell and is in the lake of fire, burning continuously, nonstop, forever, that is what Revelation calls the second death. This is a place of torment for all those who have rejected the will of God consistently, continually, and they have chosen by consequence to ignore the great reward that God sent his son to die on a cross for us that we might receive. And God now chooses to accept a person's choice to reject him and thusly put themselves in a situation of torment forever, forever. That is a spiritual death. Now, you need to know that while we are walking on earth, both should be of great concern to us. We need to make sure that we understand that both should be of great concern to us. So when we look at this, we run around, we see people opening up all of these memberships, going to the gym, want to eat healthy, got to look fit, I want to take care of my body, should I eat this, should I eat that, should I go over here, should I do that? People are wanting to take care of their bodies and make their bodies live. But the issue is that if you do all those things, still, technically, you can still die. If God has appointed a time for you to die, you're going out of here. Now, there are certain things that we can control because our bad habits can shorten our life and our good habits can extend our life. Therefore, since God honors that, you should make sure that you treat your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Be careful what you do with it. Be careful where you bring it. Be careful how you handle it. Because if you damage your body too much, when your body has worn out, by consequence of which, you will cease to physically have access on this earth. And so that is something we should take seriously. Now, the problem that I sometimes see, and perhaps you do too, is when people begin to get so excited about their physical shape, their physical look, their physical appearance, that they forget all about their spiritual appearance, their physical fitness, I mean their spiritual fitness and their spiritual life, so that they know that they're able to live in such a way that will honor God even better. This is something that's very important. Why would we go to the gym 5 days a week and complain about going to church 1 day or 2 days a week? We got to make sure we keep our priorities. If you're going to work out and take care of your physical body, do it as unto God. Do it as a way of serving God and being thankful for the body that he gave you. Make sure you do it so that it's done in a way where you're going to make sure you're not just doing it for selfish and vain glory because you want to have a flat stomach and you want to have nice abs and you want to have, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look nice. Those things are totally fine. But those temporal things, should not supersede or take the place of or be made more important than your spiritual life with Christ, than your commitment, your relationship with Him, than the things that you do on a daily basis that help you to grow in your relationship of making God first. That part's got to be first when it comes down to Him, because there is none like Him. So as we go into here, let's look in a little bit further when it comes to death. Now, some of this is going to be a little deep, I must warn you. But before I jump in, I want to ask, are there any questions? And I'm also going to stop at another place in this section, in this segment, and I'll also ask, are there any questions? Do I have any questions on the air today?
I do have a question, Pastor. When we look at death, and the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to be born and then another for a man to die, what or whom makes that determination?
I'm glad you asked that question, because when the Bible teaches that it's appointed unto man to die, there's a certain timestamp that's given, and that's given unto people automatically, okay? And it's weird because that date is adjustable. And I know it sounds weird. How in the world can I have an appointed time and then my days can be adjusted? That doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't, but let me help you out. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother so that you may live long in the land. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
That
yes, sir.
Begs to mention that people who are disrespectful to those that have the authority and the covering over them don't live long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they can shorten their days. And that's happened in the Bible before, where people actually provoked God and caused their own death. And so we're able to extend that date or shorten that date based on our actions and our attitude. So just because God has an appointed date, He doesn't mind moving it if we, you know, to reflect our attitudes and our actions. So that's really important. And many times death is actually put in certain ways strategically for our favor. See, the Bible teaches in Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together for our good. And sometimes when people die, we wonder, why did that person die? They're so young. Why did this child die at 15, 16 years old? Why did my mother, you know, died, you know, she was just 49 years old. You know, that's super duper young. When people now are living well into their 80s and 90s now. Why did she die so young? And many people don't realize that sometimes God will allow us to leave this world to prevent us from having a worser time in the future. You know, sometimes it's a privilege to be able to go out on top, you know, before ruining our life or losing all of our hope or throwing in the towel and totally giving in. You know, that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God even allows us to be blessed above measure. We realize that even when young people die, that it could have been earlier. So He blessed us with as much time as He could in His own will. So God ultimately is the one who is and should make the decision on death. Okay? God is the one who is and should make the decision on death. That is the reason why we do not support or encourage Christians to embrace thoughts of suicide or anyone else, because that means that you've put your action behind hopelessness when Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And if there's any questions that you don't want to ask on the air, I also want to encourage you to shoot a text message to 865-306-6362. That's 865-306-6362. 6362. And I had multiple questions. One is, what happens when a person dies? I think that's a good question to ask. But the answer isn't very simple. There are two parts of life. We have time and eternity. In time is where our physical body lives. In time, you're born, you live, and you die. You experience things, and then you move on. In eternity, you just are. That's the reason why whenever God refers to himself, he told Moses, Moses said, if I'm going to Egypt to bring your people out, they're going to ask, who sent me? What am I supposed to say? He said, tell them I am sent you, because I am that I am. God doesn't begin. He doesn't end. He is. And for many people, it's hard for them to understand that, but we call that realm eternity. God doesn't begin. He is the beginning. God doesn't end. He is the ending. The beginning and the end is just a reference point in order for us to be able to calibrate time so that we have some kind of point of reference. But to God, who has no time, has no death, there is no beginning or end. Things just are. So when you look at this, and I give you this definition, we're going to look at what happens to a person in time, and we're going to look to what happens to a person in eternity. All right? So in time, a person is born, a person dies. And when you die on this earth, you may be buried, and then we grieve over you, we miss you, we mourn you, and we try to move on and try to see if we can continue to live our lives as best as we can. And we do the best that we can, and then we move on. And then other people die, and other people die, and the same thing happens. But in time, what will happen is, later on, at a certain point, the rapture will take place. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 17, is going to tell us about the rapture. And when it does, it's telling us that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So those that were dead in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? So that is what's going to happen in time. All of those who died, the sea is going to give up their dead. The ground is going to give up their dead. Everybody who died, all of them, those who died and died in Christ, all of them, the remnants and the leftovers of their body is going to collect together, and it's going to transform, and their physical matter will be changed, transformed into a glorified body, and their soul will be received into heaven to meet Jesus in the air, and forever will they be with him in the air. All right? Got me so far. Now, after that happens, on earth, there's going to be a lot of people still left on earth. Tribulation period is going to take place. The Antichrist is going to rise into power, and then the wrath of God is going to fall, causing the end of the world. After the end of the world, there will be a 1,000-year reign that Jesus will reign, and following that, the earth will be destroyed and the universe thereof. And when the universe and the earth will be destroyed, then at that time, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and only those people who are in Christ are going to be able to experience that. And the new heaven will come down to the new earth, and it will be a perfect mix and a marriage between the spiritual God and the earthly human, because the earth which we are familiar with will be a new earth that has all the splendors that we love, and the new heaven which has all the splendors that God loves, and they will be a perfect marriage together as we celebrate a new life and a new celebration with him. All right? Now, somebody asked a question, and one of the questions that they have is, what about, you know, cremated bodies? If a person goes through a cremation or something like that. And the issue you must realize is, keep in mind that the body was the only thing that was cremated. But the soul is the only thing that's going to heaven. So technically, it doesn't matter whether they were cremated. It doesn't matter whether they were in a nuclear blast and they seemed like they were incinerated. Okay? There are remnants of that person's body somewhere on this planet, somewhere. And any of those remnants are going to be brought together, and they're going to be, their body's going to be transformed. And when the transformation happens, they will no longer be a physical body, but their soul will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. All of that is going to happen on the day that the rapture takes place. All is going to happen as quick as you can bat an eye, okay? As quick as you can blink your eyes is how fast it's going to happen. So if you're going to be ready to go back with Jesus, you need to make sure that you've already given him your Lord, made him your Lord and Savior, giving your life over to him right now. All right? Now, the second part of this is what happens spiritually when a person dies. Because on earth, things start, they go, then they're finished. And in heaven, that's not the case. Okay? And I want to share that with you because Jesus once was talking with this guy who's a thief on the cross. And that thief who was on the cross, he gave his heart to Jesus. And he believed in Jesus. And it was amazing that this conversation that happens while Jesus is on the cross and two thieves are on the side of him. One thief starts talking about, you know, if you really are the Son of God, won't you, you know, take yourself down off this cross and then bring us with you, you know. And he was being disrespectful. But the other thief said, man, we get him what we deserve. But this man is innocent. Jesus, when you go into your kingdom, please just remember me. And Jesus said something that will echo in our hearts and our minds, especially around the Easter time and Good Friday time. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, Jesus says unto him, verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's amazing, because on earth he died. So how in the world can you today be with Jesus in paradise if the man's body physically died on earth? Because when you die, you spiritually, your soul leaves your body and you go into eternity. And when you open your eyes, you go to heaven where you're going to be judged. So your soul leaves from time to eternity. And while in eternity, there is a judgment that takes place. That is where you're going to be. The Bible says that the books are going to be open, and all of your life is going to be perused over. And after all of that, you are going to be told whether or not you're going to heaven, whether or not you're going to hell. And thankfully, this man got blessed assurance even before he died that he would be with Jesus Christ that day. And that's pretty awesome. So you need to know that when people die, as soon as they die, they open their eyes and boom, they are now no longer in the natural realm, but in the spirit realm. Okay? But that's because they're in eternity that has no time. So everything already is. But on the earth, okay? And on the earth, we're still experiencing time, so things are still taking time in order for the earth to end. Okay? But if you die, you're going to go there and be there instantly. I know this sounds weird, but I'm going to throw a couple of terms to you that will help you to understand them a little better because of what I just said. Have you ever heard of the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world? That's because spiritually what Jesus did in eternity that has no time supersedes the time that's on earth. So even though Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he actually was slain in eternity before the foundations of the earth. So I know it may be a little complicated to think about, but keep in mind that when a person experiences physical death, they die here on earth, but the earth doesn't change because of that death. But when a person dies, and they die spiritually because they did not know Jesus Christ, they die and they go to hell. And that is the second death. And Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So during that time, we need to keep in mind that Jesus wants to do everything he can to help us to stay from such a deplorable and horrible state. So we should do everything we can to get away from, to fight away from, to run away from that idea of being thrown into a situation where we would not be able to overcome or to be able to live better. So it's very important that we try to serve him while we have a chance, because time is winding up. I'm so glad that you took out this time to dial into the show today so we can have just a little discussion about death and life and what death has to do with those that are living and those that are already deceased. What life is like when you experience death, and also what life it will be like in the spiritual death as well. I want to tell you that if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come to Rock of Ages and come and visit us. We're located at 420 West 13th North Street in Morristown, 37814. And we would love to have you to come by and fellowship with us. On Sunday mornings, we have a one-hour Bible study that we call Sunday School, and we even feed you breakfast every Sunday. Hello, somebody. Come on out, enjoy that, and then you can come on to our morning worship service at 11 a.m. Our choir will sing. We have a wonderful fellowship. We get in to meet and greet and have an awesome word just for you. So come on out and be blessed. And on top of that, in the middle of the week, on Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have a Bible study. It will bless you and encourage you. We even stream it sometime, and we have multiple people that likes to throw streams together sometimes. So you can check us out on Facebook and see what it looks like, all right? But we would love to celebrate you, and we want to tell you up front right now that we love you, but God loves you most. And I love you. God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. But I want to ask right before I close the show, are there any other questions out there? All right. Well, in the inevitable and immortal words of Miss Janice Hudson the Deep, have a victorious week in Jesus.
Never know how.
Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.